May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, our great God and our Redeemer. Amen. Today, as I said earlier, we are returning to our series on the Apostles' Creed. I believe you've not lost touch with the previous sermons on the Apostles' Creed. We said at the start that we're not enforcing Apostles' Creed. It was sermon series on scriptures. We're drawing from the Apostles' Creed. It's a creed that churches have said over the centuries. And I'm sure you would have also noticed that the words of the Apostles' Creed are powerful. It draws us to a point in which we revisit what we believe. What is it that we really believe in the face of competitive alternatives? What is it that we believe? What is it that drives our life as believers? And so in the coming weeks, again, we'll be looking at the other parts of the Apostles' Creed. So today we look at a session in which we affirm that Jesus ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. This part of the creed reminds us of the exaltation of our risen Jesus, who reigns over all things. Centuries ago, the 19th century, especially Abraham Kuyper, a Dutch theologian, is believed to have said that there is no square inch of life where Jesus does not say, "I am the Lord." In every sphere of life, Jesus says, "I am the Lord." This part of the creed brings us to that point where we reaffirm that Christ reigns over all things. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 22, we read that Jesus has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. That's wonderful. Something to think about, something to be excited about, that all powers, all authorities in heaven and on earth are in submission to God's and to Christ's lordship. As Anne said earlier, the liturgical calendar always includes the Ascension Day, a Thursday, 40 days after Easter, and this year's Ascension Day falls on 30th of May, so we are 4 days ahead. Referring to Jesus, Luke chapter 9, verse 51 says, "As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus set out for Jerusalem." Now, before the ascension, something happened. Things happened, and Anne captured that in the children's talk. He went to Jerusalem, he preached, he lived, he was chastised, he was punished, he was bruised, he was crucified, he died, and he rose again. While he was going to the holy city where his own exodus from this life was to occur, Jesus knew well that the way which would lead him to the glory of the Father passed through the cross. He would have avoided it. Now, the way to the glory of the Father also passed through obedience to the divine design of love for humanity. He would have avoided all of this and taken a shortcut. In fact, during my days in high school, there used to be little printouts or books, just little pamphlets. They would call it Chemistry Made Easy, Physics Made Easy. And it is something you can just put in your pocket, just very little pamphlet. And I remember my chemistry teacher then would say, "Look, chemistry is not easy. You cannot reduce chemistry to a small pamphlet and think it is as easy as that. You need to go and study. Study your voluminous books." I mean, Jesus would have taken the easy path to glory, but he chose to go through these rigorous processes. And of course, it leaves us with lots of lessons. Likewise, our entrance into the glory of God demands daily commitment to God's will. It requires, so before the crown, before glory, there has to be, we have to think about the grave, the pain that Jesus suffered. As read in Luke chapter 24, from verse 50 to verse 52, Jesus led the disciples out to the vicinity of Bethany. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. I want you to know that great joy as we go forward. And they stayed continually in the temple praising God. Now, in this account, we note a few things. First, that during the ascension of Jesus, he made the priestly gesture of blessing. He blessed them. And the disciples expressed their faith in worship. They bowed down, they worshiped him. Now, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 to 16 presents to us Jesus, the one eternal high priest, who passed through death, the resurrection, and ascended into heaven. Because he walked on earth, he knows what we are going through, and he's able to sympathize with us in our struggles. He's not detached from our daily experiences. If you are being oppressed, if you are being humanized, if you are being castigated, Jesus experienced all of that. He paid the price. He was nailed on the cross. He died a shameful death. What more could the world do to a king of love? But he was buried, and God raised him up from the grave. So he knows our struggles. He knows our pains. And that is why when we go to the throne of grace, we do not have to worry about being turned away, because Christ himself is there to meet us. In the ocean of God's grace, there's so much enough. There's enough to reach out to every person on earth. Christ is with God, the Father, where he intercedes forever for us. We read this in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24. And in 1 John chapter 2, from verse 1 to 2, we are reminded that Jesus is our advocate. He is called our advocate. We know that when someone is summoned by the judge or is involved in legal proceedings, he or she does seek for a lawyer to defend him or her. But praise to God, we have one who always defends us from the snares of the devil, who defends us from ourselves and from our sins, from the accusing finger of the enemy. That when the enemy wants to point out to our past to say, look, you are not good enough, Jesus is saying, I have paid the price. He or she is good enough. So let us not be afraid, people of God, to turn to him, our advocate, to ask forgiveness, to ask for a blessing, to ask for mercy. Because there is so much enough in God's storehouse to reach out to everyone. We should not tie ourselves to our past. We should each day live in the fullness of God's redemptive grace upon our lives. We have a great advocate who speaks on our behalf. And praise God again, this advocate will never and has never lost a case. A second point we need to note from this reading is that when the disciples saw Jesus being ascended to heaven, the disciples returned to Jerusalem with a great joy. This seems a wee bit odd, isn't it? When we are separated from our family and friends, and I've shared this story with us many years ago in 2001, when I was first leaving home as a minister after my licensing. I was looking forward to that. It is something I was convinced that God has called me to do. But the day I was to leave to my first place of assignment, I had packed all my stuff ready. And that day, I was leaving my father's house. I took my wee luggage. It wasn't much. And I looked back. I looked at my bed. I looked at everything. And it was done on me that for the rest of my life, I was going to be a visitor to that place. And wee tears dropped on my eyes. Anyway, it didn't stop me from taking my luggage because the car was already waiting to take me off. And so when we are separated from our family and friends because of departure and especially death, there is usually a natural sadness in us. We feel sad. We feel pained. We feel pain because we no longer see their face or enjoy their love and their company. And so there's that sadness. And sometimes that sadness remains in us for a very long time. Luke emphasizes the profound joy of their disciples at the ascension of Christ. With the eyes of faith, they understand that although Jesus has been removed from their sight, Jesus stays with them forever. He does not abandon them, rather, he guides them and intercedes for them. And that was the great joy they had. They knew that that was not the end, that even when our loved ones have departed from this earth, that is not the end. With the eyes of faith, we believe that soon and very soon, we are going to see the Lord. And with the eyes of faith, we believe that soon and very soon, we shall be reunited. And often when I go to the cemetery, and sometimes when I take funerals, people write on the funeral program, "Together again." What does that mean? With the eyes of faith, we believe that our loved ones who are no longer with us, we shall be reunited, we shall see them sometime in the future. So Jesus is always with us. The beginning of Acts points us to the ascension of Christ. And here again we read that the cloud hid Jesus from the sight of the disciples who stood gazing at him ascending to God. In their wonder, two men appeared to them and asked them not to stand there looking up to heaven, but to nourish their lives and their witness with the certainty that Jesus will come again in the same way in which he has been taken. This is the invitation for us as people of God to base our thoughts on Christ's Lordship, to find in him the strength to spread the good news and to witness to it in everyday life as we await his return. I'll speak more about that next week. Jesus calls us in as we are waiting. We do not fold our hands. But he calls us to listen as he did and pointed to that, to do what Jesus did while he was on earth, to listen and respond to the quiet cries of the abused children, home and abroad, the depressing tears of vulnerable women, as we had last week in Sawula village in Syria alone and in other parts of the world. To listen and to respond to the pains and agony of the homeless, to the mentally tortured, to those in pain within and around us. We cannot be God's people when we close our eyes to the pains of the world. And we give God praise that in St. John's we have continued to show this active response to the pains of the world. We do this as we wait the return of Christ. And on today, and in today's service, and as we await Ascension Day 2 on Thursday, we are reminded that Ascension does not point to Jesus' absence. It does not mean he has withdrawn and he has run away and has left the world to itself. But Ascension reminds us that Jesus is alive in our midst in new ways. He's active. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 10, we read, "He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe." So there is no limitation to the sphere in which Jesus reigns. He empowers us, and I will speak about that more in the coming days, through the power and ministry of the Holy Spirit to be a living, active congregation. Yes, the ascension reminds us that Christ is Lord and present in every sphere and every time. He is close to each one of us. And so in our life, we are never alone. In our pains, in our sorrows, in our joys, we are never alone. We have a great advocate who understands the pains of our hearts. I'm sure there are moments in your life where you are so pained that you lose words to express how painful you feel. In those moments where you cannot even explain what is going on in your life, we have a great advocate who understands us, who feels the pain of our hearts, the unspoken pains, the unexpressed realities of our lives. We have a Savior who understands us and who walks every step with us. The crucified and risen Lord guides us. He is the Lord. He is the Lord. He rules at all times and in all places. Amen.